الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم صدق الله العظيم. Respected Asatiza, Honorable Ulama Ikram, Respected Elders and Brothers in Islam, the advices that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave during the last Hajj, when you find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed after Hajj became fard in Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed the one Hajj, which was approximately 81 days before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam left this dunya. And this last Hajj was performed with over 100,000 Sahaba present there. And that is why this last Hajj is regarded as, or we consider it as the farewell Hajj. The last Hajj that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed, the farewell Hajj, the advices that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave on that occasion were very, very pertinent advices. And it was at a very, very momentous occasion. And amongst the advices that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the majma of Sahaba and he asked the Sahaba a question. That, oh Sahaba, Nabi Kareem asked the Sahaba that what day is this? The Sahaba replied that it is a very sacred day. Nabi Kareem asked that what place is this? So the answer was given that it is a sacred place. And thereafter it was asked that what month is this? And the answer was given that it is a sacred month. And thereafter Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that verily your blood, your wealth and your honor, that is the blood, the wealth and the honor of a Muslim, is more sacred than this place, this blessed place, this blessed day and this blessed month. We find that it was a Mubarak place that this khutbah was given. It was in the Mubarak month, Zulhijjah, one of the four sacred months in Islam. And even the place that this khutbah was given, it was a Mubarak place. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the blood, the wealth, and the honor of a Muslim, the honor of a Muslim is more sacred than this also. So we find from this that how important it is to uphold the honor, uphold the name, uphold the respect and the dignity of each and every person. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that that person who upholds the honor and the name and he protects his fellow Muslim brother when his name is being violated, then Allah Rabbul Izzat makes it incumbent upon himself to protect and save this person from the punishment of the fire of Jahannam. Unfortunately, we find today, it has become so common that we are ready to run down and violate our next Muslim brother, tarnish his image, tarnish his name. Sometimes a person might have committed a mistake, a small mistake, but we blow it out of proportion and you spread it regarding this person, sometimes verbally, and more often than not in today's time, the fitna that is very, very prevalent amongst us. We are ready to tarnish that person via social media. And friends and elders, when sending something that is not verified via social media, even if a person puts there that he forwarded it as he received it, it does not absolve a person from the guna and sin of spreading this false news. And on the one hand, is if that what the person has committed is true, Nabi Akrim Sassam inquires from the Sahaba that, do you know what is ghibah? And thereafter Nabi Akrim Sassam advises the Sahaba that dhikruka akhaka bima yakrahu, that you are mentioning something about your fellow Muslim brother that which he does not like, which he dislikes. So thereafter the Sahaba inquired from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if that which we are speaking about our fellow Muslim brother, even if it's present in him, even if he has that fault in him, even then too we are not allowed to speak about it. So Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that if you mention something about your fellow Muslim brother and that is prevalent in him, it is present in him, then you have backbited him. And if you mention something about your fellow Muslim brother which is not prevalent in him, then you have slandered him, which is even worse. Unfortunately, we find that this sin of ghibat, backbiting, spreading lies, is something that is taken very, very lightly. Other gunas, when a person commits, he will commit it quietly. He will try and make sure that nobody witnesses the sin that he is committing. But this sin of tarnishing a fellow Muslim brother's image has become so widespread and so common and so simple and easy that a person commits it without even worrying about what he has done. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was one sahabi by the name of Hazrat Ma'iz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he had erred, he had committed zina. So he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On 4 different occasions he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and confessing of his sin. And after the 4th occasion, thereafter Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed that the penalty be imposed upon him. He should be stoned. So after they were returning from the area where the stoning took place, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba were returning, 2 companions began discussing among themselves. So the one person tells the other that this Sahabi, Hazrat Ma'iz, why did he go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and confess? He should have rather concealed that which was not known, rather than now him going and confessing. And now this penalty had to be carried out upon him and he had to be stoned. So Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, but Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that occasion did not tell them anything. A little while later, as they were passing, they passed by a carcass of a donkey. And Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeing this, call for those 2. When they were brought in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person that spoke about the Sahabi and the person that listened, Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called both of them. And thereafter Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed them to eat from this donkey, this carcass. So they both told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, can someone eat from this? So thereafter Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that what you had just did is far worse than eating from this carcass. What you had just did is far worse. And Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter mentions that tilka qasam in Allah, that Hazrat Ma'iz radiallahu anhu is busy diving in the rivers of Jannah. Allah Ta'ala mentions about this in the Quran Majeed. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَيْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا أَيْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. That would one of you like to consume the meat, the flesh of his fellow Muslim brother. And not only that, his Muslim, fellow Muslim brother who is dead, definitely he will dislike doing such a thing. So shows how wrong and how evil a crime it is to spread rumors and to speak evil about your fellow Muslim brother. Our duty and our responsibility, as Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had mentioned on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada', is to protect the honor, protect the dignity, protect the respect of our fellow Muslim brother. As Mufti Taqi Sahib Rahmatullah Damat Barakatuh makes mention of an incident that there was a pious person and he was sitting in a gathering, and whilst he was sitting in that gathering there was light-hearted discussion taking place and it eventually led to ghibat. So this person, being a pious person, he knew that there was something wrong. He excused himself from that gathering. After a while he went back and he joined the gathering. And when he joined the gathering, this discussion was still taking place. But now he did not leave the gathering, but rather he joined the gathering and also took part in the backbiting that was taking place there. Thereafter, when he went to sleep that night, in his dream he sees that a very, very scary creature comes in front of him. And it has some meat that has a very, very bad smell. And this creature is now forcing him to eat this meat. So he declined. But this creature forces him. Very, very scary looking creature. And after forcing him, this meat was forced down his throat. And it was said to him that this is pork and eat it. So he says to that person, no, I cannot eat it. It's haram. But it was forced down his throat. So this pious person mentioned that the next day when he woke up, he could actually taste and smell the stench of that meat that was coming. And it was said to him in the dream that this is as a result of the backbiting and the ghibat that you had undertaken the previous day. The pious servants of Allah Ta'ala, sometimes they feel, they sense the evil of their crimes. When they commit guna, then they sense it. But if a person is accustomed to continuously doing wrong, then it has no effect upon him. May Allah protect us. May Allah Ta'ala save us all. Also, friends and elders, among the advices that Rasulullah s.a.w. gave, and on three occasions Nabi Akram s.a.w. mentions, or three times Nabi Akram s.a.w. repeated, that Allah, Allah, tazlimu, Allah, Allah, tazlimu, that do not oppress one another. Do not oppress one another. Do not oppress one another. We find that in one hadith Nabi Akram s.a.w. mentioned that be very, very careful of the dua of an oppressed person. Why? Because between his dua and Allah Ta'ala, there is no barrier. If you oppress a person, you cause harm to a person, and then he makes dua to Allah Ta'ala, his dua goes straight to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And the effects of that can come upon you. Hazrat Amr bin Malik mentions that a pious person from amongst the Bani Israel was once walking on the seashore, and he comes across a person. And this person is shouting and saying that let me serve as an example of a person who oppressed. Let me serve as an example of a person who oppressed. So he inquires from him that what are you saying? What are you saying? So this person mentions his incident. He says, that I was a policeman by trade, and Allah Ta'ala had, obviously being a policeman, Allah Ta'ala had given him authority. So he says this: once on this very same seashore, I had seen a fisherman that had come out from the ocean, and he had a fish with him. And I wanted to, initially I go up to this person, and then I request that I may purchase this fish from him. So he declined. And then I tried to forcibly take it from him, but he declined. And eventually I took my whip, and I struck him with it, and I forcefully took that fish away from him. And as I was taking this fish home, it so happened that this fish caught hold of my finger and it gripped it. I tried to free my finger from it, but I was unable to do it. And after much difficulty, when I got home, I was able to remove my finger from the mouth of this fish. And after a while I noticed that my finger, the injury is not healing, and rather is getting worse, it is swelling. And discontinued. And initially I did not know the reason behind it. So I went to a doctor, and this injury began spreading. So I went to the doctor and he said that to prevent the further spreading of this, my finger will have to be amputated. So regretfully I allowed for it to take place. And he mentions that I continued thereafter, and then I noticed that the injury, the wound is now spreading towards my palm. So again I went to the doctor, and he tells me that now my entire hand from my wrist will have to be removed. So I had allowed it to take place. But then I noticed that it still continued. And thereafter my forearm was chopped off. And like this, it still continued. And when I went back to the doctor, he advised me now that my upper arm will have to be amputated. So when I heard this, I ran out screaming and crying. And I began running like a madman. And eventually, after running the entire day, I became tired and I went to rest. And I slept away, I dozed off. And I see in my dream that someone is telling me that how many more parts of your body are going to be amputated before you going and asking forgiveness. How many more parts of your body are you going to allow to be amputated before you go and seek forgiveness from that person? And thereafter I realized the wrong behind what I had done. So I went in search of this fisherman, and I found him. He was removing a large amount of fish from his boat on the seashore. I went by him and I began pleading from him to forgive me. And I showed him my hand being amputated. So immediately he forgave me. And thereafter he tells me that this is not justice for one crime that you have done. This is the amount that you have to bear. So he takes me home with him. He instructs his son to open a small corner in the home. And from there he removed 30,000 gold coins. And from there he gave me 10,000 and he says, use this for yourself. And he gave me another 10,000 and he said that go and use this for your deserving friends and family. Before I was going to depart, he asked me a question. And he tells me that he asked me to tell him that the policeman tells the fisherman that what dua did you make against me that I suffered like this? So he says that day when you struck me and you took that fish away from me, so I made dua to Allah Ta'ala. And I told Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, you have made me weak. This is a policeman. He has control over me, he has authority over me. He is more stronger than me. Because of this, he is abusing his power and authority. And he has harmed me. Oh Allah, you be my protector against him. And this is how Allah Ta'ala accepted the dua of this person. And that is the result, direct result of the bad dua of an oppressed person. So friends and elders, we have to be very, very careful. Especially in today's time, how often we find that when a person has a certain amount of power and authority, then he uses it to exploit and oppress another person. Especially in the current circumstances in our country, we find that it is 1 year now since we had witnessed the difficulties, the looting, the rioting, etc. in our countries. And we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala does not show us another likeness of this. And may Allah Ta'ala protect us and continue protecting us. But friends and elders, we find on the one hand, 1 year has passed, but this threat is always looming also. This threat is always above us. The political situation in our country is very unstable. So we have to make an effort towards this also. And one way of making an effort is to change our ways in this regard. Not to exploit anyone. Not to oppress anyone. Especially those that are under us. How often we find that we have workers under us that are working for many, many years. But ask any one of them that what is their opinion regarding us, has our attitude towards them, has our treatment towards them brought them any closer towards Islam or turned them further and further away from Islam? How often we find that because of their small mishaps and mistakes, perhaps sometimes they might come a little late to work. Sometimes they might stay away because of some need of theirs. Many a time you find that they are sacrificing their own needs. They are sacrificing their own families. And they are sacrificing their own necessities and coming and working for us. So because of them now having certain needs, they might not be able to fulfill their duties and tasks towards us very, very easily. But because of their shortcomings now, we are ready to take them to task for it. Whereas the wage that they are earning sometimes is only sufficient to fulfill their daily need, their food, and perhaps their basic bare necessities. Because of us now cutting their wage, because of us taking them to task, because of their shortcomings, now they are unable to fulfill their basic necessities. How often we find that our one meal at a restaurant is perhaps more than what they are earning in an entire month. Now, friends and elders, they are oppressed. At the end of the day, they are oppressed. And now when they witness and the opportunity comes about for them to now take their revenge, they are not going to remember that one occasion that you are good to them. They are not going to remember that one occasion when you showed some kindness towards them. They will remember the times when they went through difficulty and they went through hardship. Perhaps they went hungry. Perhaps they were unable to buy certain basic necessities that they required because of the poverty. And all this occurred whilst they were witnessing the luxury and the comfort that you were living in. May Allah protect us. May Allah save us. May Allah use this as an example for us to bring about changes in our lives. So friends and elders, these were some of the advices that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada. And like that, there were many other advices. And the Sahaba, they understood these advices as pertinent advices, as parting advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let us hold on to these advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam given on this occasion. And friends and elders, Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam concluded the khutbah with that advice also, that فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ مِنْكُمْ الْغَائِبِ, that those who are present here should convey this message to those who are not present here. This is also our responsibility, that to take this message of Islam and spread it to the four corners of the world, to spread this message, this goodness of Islam, the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the teachings of Islam, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the teachings of the Sahaba through the four corners of the world. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Rabbul Izzat gives us the tawfiq of bringing about the teachings that were conveyed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the month of Zulhijjah. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. May Allah Ta'ala save each and every one of us and grant us hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.